I'm going to be reading from the 21st chapter of the book of John. It is a familiar passage to us. As a matter of fact, it hasn't been too terribly long. It was earlier this year I preached from this passage. But I'm going in a different direction today. John chapter 21, verse number 14, and it is up on the screen here. This is now the third time. Yes, our young folks can go back, our children back into the classroom. Pray for Sister Charity, for her survival. She goes back there. Amen. Let the grace of the Lord cover her. Be a protection over her. Amen. Hallelujah. John 21 and 14 said, "This is now the third time that Jesus was showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." So this takes place, by the way, after Jesus rose from the dead. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest." Listen what he said. Jesus said, "Do you love me more than these?" And Simon Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Then Peter turning about, this is two verses down, Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" I love how Peter liked to change the subject. Three times Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Hey, let's talk about John. What's going to happen with John?" And here's Jesus' answer to him was, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you?" In other words, it's none of your business what happens with somebody else or what I do in somebody else's life. I want you to follow me. You don't worry about what other people are doing or what they look like or what's happening or what's going on in their life. Amen. This week, and we're going to pray here just a moment and just a second, and you're going to be seated, but there have been a lot of distractions in the spirit world. This week has been a trying week. You know, Jesus also told Peter one time, he said, "Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." In other words, he wants to take your focus away from the lost and revival.
Right. That's right. He does.
Last night, God spoke to me and just reminded me, your primary job is feed my sheep.
That's right.
And that's not entirely the focus of my message today, but what I want to speak to you about after we've prayed and are seated are questions that demand an answer. Questions that demand an answer. One more time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for what we feel in this place. We pray now, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay, and we pray, Lord, that you would anoint our ears. We know, Lord, that your word is anointed. Your word doesn't need to be anointed. But we know that our ears need to be touched to be able to hear. That our eyes need to be able to be touched to be able to see. That our mind needs to be touched so that we can understand, and that our heart be touched so that we can receive. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen. Turn around, shake hands with somebody before you're seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And I don't say it often enough, but thank you, Sister Amanda, for playing that piano. Amen. She just really helps to set the tone with her spirit. And I can say this because she slipped out for just a minute, but she would get on to me if she was in here. But she said to me this morning, she was joking. I want y'all to know that beforehand. She was serious, but she was joking. She said, I hope you got something from God today, because I want to hear from God. I don't want to hear from Mike Crocker. Amen. Was that? Maybe she did hear that. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. But she said, I'm willing to hear the word of the Lord from the man of God, but I don't want to hear nothing from you. No. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I'm thankful about this. I will say this much. I am thankful that I have a wife who is able to separate the man from the message. Because the simple truth of the matter is she sees me when I am at my worst. And if she was not able to separate the man from the message, then she would never be able to receive anything from God, because, you know, you're always going to see flaws in people. They're always going to be there. And you have to understand that every messenger that God ever used in the scripture or anywhere else had flaws. They were all flawed. But there's nothing wrong with the message. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the word. Amen. And but Jesus asked Peter four questions in our scripture text. The first question was, do you love me more than these? And I don't know if he was talking about, do you love me more than these other disciples or not? I really don't know. There's been speculation about that. But he also said, he followed that up with the second question, which was just simply, do you love me? Period. Do you love me? And then the third question, he came back again a third time and said, do you love me a third time? And it was on that third question that the Bible says that Peter was grieved or upset. Shortly after that, again, I pointed out to you that Peter tried to change the subject. And he wanted to know what was going to happen with John. And he asked Jesus, he said that, Lord, what's going to take place with John over here? Because I'm tired of you asking me if I love you. I'm really getting uncomfortable here with all of this. And Jesus sort of gently rebuked Peter, and he said, basically, mind your own business. Is that what he said? He said, because if I choose that he lives until I come back, that's my business. It's not your business. Throughout the Bible, we find that God oftentimes asks questions that he already knows the answer to. Amen. Last week, I preached a little bit about Adam and Eve, and he asked them three questions after they had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said that God asked them three questions. He said, where are you? Who told you you were naked? And what have you done? And when he asked those questions, just like when Jesus asked Peter those questions, he already knew the answer. God was not really wondering where Adam and Eve were when he said, where art thou? God was not really wondering how they knew that they were naked, because he already knew the answer to that. And he was not really wondering what they had done, because he already knew what they had done. And so that brings up the question in my mind, and maybe in yours too, which was, if God already knew the answer, then why ask the question to start with? I was talking, I already mentioned that I was talking with Pat and Susan last night, and I hope you forgive me for the reference for using you in the sermon a little bit today. But she was sharing some things with me, and without going into too great of detail, she suffered a great loss here recently, the loss of her husband. What was it, about 6 months ago? And she confessed to me, I guess you could call it a confession. I don't really know that's what I'd call it. But she confessed to me to feeling anger at times. And the Bible says, and as I was talking with her, I was reminded of the fact that the Word of God says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Anger is not the same as sin. There's nothing wrong with being angry. We all get angry sometimes. But it was in our conversation that it got me to thinking about exactly what it is that God is looking for us. Are looking for in us. What kind of characteristics is it in a man or in a woman that really matter to God? What are those things, those qualities, those features, those characteristics that God is most interested in us? Because I started thinking about all of the failures in the Bible. And people that were considered great and are considered great, justifiably so. And I thought about people like Noah. And the Bible says that, I pointed out to you a week or two ago, Noah was a drunk. And yet he's in the Heroes Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. And then Abraham, you've heard me tell you many times how Abraham was such a coward that he was willing to give his wife to another man to save his own life. Yet he's also in the Heroes Hall of Fame of faith. And there's others, we could go on and on. Moses was sometimes too timid. And David had a wandering eye. And all of these guys had their faults and they had their problems and they had their issues. And they were all failures in one way or the other, but when you cut away all of their faults and all of their issues and all of their problems and you get down to the root of who they were, you find that they all had one thing in common, and that is when you cut to the chase of it, they were all honest with God. They may have gotten mad at God, like Job did. They may have gotten mad at God, like Elijah did. But they did not lie to God. They were honest about who they were and what they were. And they recognized their own faults and their own failures. And as I started looking back at Adam and Eve, I realized that when God asked them this question, who told you you were naked? Where are you? What have you done? I started looking at it more carefully. And what God was trying to do, he already knew the answer to the question, but what he was trying to do was get them to admit what was wrong in their lives. Because what he was saying to them is, I can't help you until you are honest with me. And you know what Adam and Eve did? They weren't truthful with God. Because when God asked them, and he said, first of all, he said, where are you? They didn't even answer that. They just ignored that part of it. And then he said, what have you done? Who told you you were naked? What did both of them do? Adam blamed not just Eve, but in a backhanded way, he blamed God. Because he said, well, it was the woman that you gave me. And then Eve said, she didn't take the blame for it either. She said, well, it was the serpent. The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Let me tell you something. We blame the devil a lot of times for things the devil didn't do. The truth of the matter is the devil can't make you do anything that you don't want to do. And yet, what God was saying to Adam and Eve, Brother Chris, was God just wanted to hear them say, I was wrong. Yes. Amen. Sure. Yes. That's right. That's right.
It was my fault I didn't have to eat. It wasn't my wife's fault. It wasn't the serpent's fault. It was nobody's fault but my own. And he was trying to get them. I tell you what, folks, I have been a pastor for so many years, and it just, I learned, and I don't want to take this to a negative turn, but I've dealt with so many people that make up so many excuses for why they don't serve the Lord. And I get so weary of hearing sometimes. And sometimes it'd be refreshing just to hear somebody for once say, hey, it's my fault. I just don't have the desire that I need to have to live for God. Right. And so when God asks a question, it isn't because he wants an answer. He already knows the answer. When God asks a question, it's because he wants us, hear me, he wants us to examine ourselves. That's what he's wanting. That's what he's looking for. He's seeking honesty out of us. Do you not think that when he asked Cain, when Cain got jealous over his brother's offering being accepted, don't you think that when God said, why are you angry? Why do you have a bad attitude? That's what, why is your countenance fallen, means. When God said to Cain, why are you angry? Why do you have a bad attitude? God already knew the answer to that. Cain's anger was not a sin. His bad attitude was the sin. And God already knew the answer. But what he was trying to do was to help Cain and try to get Cain to acknowledge where he was and get Cain to say, hey, look, the problem is me. I know that I've got a jealousy issue and I just need to get over it. Amen. When the angel of the Lord came to Hagar as she was running from Sarah, and she's running from a bad situation. How many of you ever ran from a bad situation before in your life? And the angel of the Lord came to her, and you know what the angel said? The angel said, where did you come from, and where do you think you're going? Now you might say, well, why? You know, God already knew where she came from. And God knew where she was going. But why would he ask the question? The question was to get her to self-evaluate and to say, where am I really headed in this life? Because this path, the angel was saying, this path that you have chosen, it is not going to take you where you think it's going to take you. And you need to reevaluate where you are in your life right now. And you know what the angel ended up saying? The angel ended up saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the angel ended up saying, listen, I know you think things are bad right now, but trust me, the wilderness is a lot worse. So you know what the angel said? You need to pack up your bags, take your child, go back to Abraham and Sarah. It's going to get better. It's bad right now, but it's going to get better. The last thing you need to do, though, is to go off half-cocked and get out in the middle of a wilderness somewhere with your baby, without any water, without any way to take care of yourself. I know you're mad right now. I know you're upset right now. I know you're going through a struggle right now, but you need to go back to where it is safe. And so God sometimes asks us questions because he's trying to get us to evaluate where we are. He asked Sarah, when she doubted about whether she could have a child or not, is anything too hard for the Lord? He asked Jacob, and he already knows the answers to all of this. He said, what is your name? What is your name? You know why? Think of why would he ask Jacob, what is your name? Because his name meant deceiver, supplanter, con artist. And what God was trying to say was, listen, you need to acknowledge who you are. You need to admit who and what you are. And then it was like, guess what? Once you've acknowledged the fact that you are a con artist, you see, God can work with a con artist if the con artist knows that he's a con artist. God can work with a liar and a cheat and a thief if they're willing to acknowledge that they are a liar, a cheat, and a thief, and they've got a problem. But God cannot help you if you won't be honest with him. And you know what the angel did? The angel said, going to give you a new name. It's going to be Israel. Prince. We're going to take away the con artist and the deceit and the deceiver. He asked Moses, he said, what is in your hand? As though God didn't know what was in Moses' hand. Moses had all kinds of excuses, and God was saying, listen, you've got all the potential that you need right there in your hand. Elijah running from Jezebel in a cave. God says, what are you doing here? In other words, what's going on in your life? Is this what you want to be? Is this the pinnacle of success for you to be cowering in a cave somewhere? He said to Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Are you willing to examine your call? Are you willing to submit? Are you willing to let me work through you and use you? I like the part about Jonah. You know what happened to Jonah? You know the story. Jonah went and preached to Nineveh, right? What happened when he went and preached to Nineveh? They repented. What else happened? They fasted, they prayed, they repented. What did God do? He spared the city. What did Jonah do? Got mad about it. I'd hate to know that I was sitting under a preacher who preached a message of salvation to me and then got mad if I responded. That's exactly what Jonah did. He got mad because God spared the city. And you know what God's question for him was? God's question for him was, do you have a right to be angry? God already knew the answer to that question, but what God was saying is, are you really justified in wishing destruction on an entire city? Jonah, look at your heart. Is that really who you are? Is that really what you want? God was trying to get some conviction in Jonah. He said to Ezekiel, in the valley of dry bones, can these bones live? God already knew the answer to the question. But he said, Ezekiel, I want to know what you think. I want to hear it come out of your mouth. He said to the woman with the issue of blood, who touched me? And he already knew. And somebody might say, well, why did he need to hear it? Because you've heard me preach it before many times, that just that little drop of faith, when somebody comes to an altar of repentance, just that little act of faith of stepping out from behind that chair and saying, I'm going to go down to the front and I'm going to surrender my life to God. Just that little act of faith is something that God can work with. He wasn't asking for his own benefit when he asked, who touched me? He was trying to draw some faith out of that woman that had that issue of blood. What he was saying is, listen, I can do so much more for you if you'll just come through the crowd and just show yourself. Let me see some faith. Let me see some faith. Praise God. He said to Peter, whom do you say that I am? In other words, have you really thought about it, Peter? Have you really thought about it? And we go back to our scripture text. In our scripture text, Jesus asked Peter three times. What did he say? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And here, I want everybody here. If you don't hear anything else that I've said today, I want you to get this. Because Jesus, as you already know, Jesus knew the answer to the question when he asked it. But what he was saying is, do you love me? You know what Peter did? Peter did like we do when we sing songs. He just mouthed the words. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. What's for dinner? Where are the fish? Jesus stops and said, wait, no. You're not listening. My wife got on to me this morning for not listening. I was cooking eggs and grits. I'll tell you how the devil works. With eggs and grits. And I said, hon, I'm cooking some eggs. Do you want me to make you some eggs? And what happened next depends on whether you ask her or you ask me. Because what I heard was no. She was wrapped up typing up the songs, getting ready for church. So I heard a no. So I made myself some eggs and some grits and put the pan into the sink to filled it up with water, and I was ready to go. Well, a few minutes later, she comes around and says, "Where are my eggs?" I said, "You said no." She said, "I did not say no. You don't ever pay attention to me." And what she was trying to say, though, was this. And I am guilty of this. I know I'm guilty of this. That a lot of times people ask me a question and I'll answer it. But Brian, I'm not even thinking about the question. It's just words. It's just words. And so she said, well, you know, and so the thing about it was, is when she responded to me, and I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt here. I'm still not 100% convinced. But when she said yes, my mind was wrapped up in my eggs. And I wasn't listening, and it went in one ear and out the other. And what Jesus was saying to Peter was, listen. Listen to me. I asked you the first time and I said, "Do you love me?" And you said, "Yes, I love you." But you really weren't listening to what I said. So I'm going to ask you again. I want you to pay attention this time. Do you love me? And it took three times and Peter was grieved. But when he was grieved, at least Jesus knew that he was listening. He said, "Lord, you know." You know what? The most honest thing that Peter said in that whole series was, "Lord, you know." That was the most honest thing that he said. Because the whole part about whether he really loved Jesus or not, that could be questionable. But he could, and that's the thing. That's when Jesus stopped pursuing it, because finally Peter was being honest. Peter said, "You know." And you are more honest when you are praying and you seeking God and you say to God, "Lord, I don't have all of the answers. I don't know. I don't understand this. I'm afraid right now. I'm angry right now. I'm upset right now. I don't know where this is headed. I don't know what you want me to do with my life. I don't know what's going on, but I need you." And when you will be honest with God, God can use you. When we sing songs, folks, come on up here, Sister Min. When we sing songs, my question is how honest are we? I started looking through some of these words. Listen to this. "I give you my heart. This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you." As I sit here and file my fingernails and clip my nails, and as I wonder what's going on in the NFL today, and as I wonder what's happening, where I'm going to go eat after church, and you know, I wonder what's happening here, what's happening there, as I'm struggling with the things that have gone on this week, but yet I'm mouthing the words, "Lord, with all my heart, I worship you." We're not being honest with him. Here's the next line. "All I have within me, I give you praise." All I have within me, I give you. Boy, I wish they'd shut up and sit down. "All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take." How many times do we lie to God? "Every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me." Here's another one. "Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord." How many times do we sing that without ever really thinking about what we're saying? "Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. But don't you dare really ask me to, because it might upset the crease in my pants. Might get my knees dirty. How about there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain?
Come on now.
Do you believe that? You see, and what Jesus was saying to Peter is, Peter, I need you to be real. I need you to be honest. Not really with me as much, not really with God, because God already knew the answer. But what I need you to do, Peter, is I need you to be honest with yourself. And I need you to realize where you are and who you are and exactly. Because you see, if we recognize that we're not where we need to be in God, that's the first step in going further. But if we think we've got, if we think we know all the answers, if we think we've got everything figured out and we don't need anybody else and we don't need any direction and we don't need any help and we don't need the fivefold ministry and we don't need this and we don't need that, hey, God can't help you because you've already decided you got it figured out. God wants us to be real. Would you stand with me? Listen. I said it last night. I said again, I don't mean to embarrass you, Pat. I hope I don't. But it's okay to be angry. It really is. It's okay to be angry. I've been there. How many of you have been angry before? Yeah. How many of you, let's again, we're talking about honesty today. You know, how many of you have ever been angry with God? I heard a preacher say one time, I shared this with Pat last night, but he was upset about some things that had transpired in his life, and he was mad at God, and he just prayed, and one day he poured his heart out, and he laid everything on the altar, and he just told God, he said, I'm fed up with it, I'm sick and tired of this, I'm sick and tired of that, and he poured it all out, and he said when it was done, he said he could almost hear God say, okay, now you feel better? You know something? Our God is a great big God, and he's not going to stop loving you because you have a bad day,
right,
or a bad week, or a bad month, or a bad year.
Come on.
And he's not going to cower in a corner somewhere because you pour your heart out to him and you're crying out and saying, I don't understand this. I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm broken. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. No. God will honor that because you're being honest. He wants us to be transparent and honest. Lift your hands and your voices to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. God wants somebody to be honest here today. Somebody that's hurting. Somebody that's in pain. Somebody that's struggling. I'm going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. Hear me. Listen to this. The Lord just spoke to me. One of the biggest lies in the church today is people who are struggling but too proud to admit it.
Come on.
People that are struggling in their walk with God. They're struggling and yet they're too proud to admit it. God says, I need you to be honest with me today. I need you to be honest with me today. Oh, but Pastor, if I'm truly honest with God, what will the person on the pew next to me think? God says, like Jesus told Peter about John, don't worry about John. That's none of your business. You need to focus your eyes on me. Follow me. Don't worry about John. Let John take care of himself. You worry about me because I've got a work for you to do. I've got a calling for you, and I need you first to be honest with me. I need somebody. Is there anybody that needs to be honest today that says, I need a touch from God? I need an answer. I need a healing in my mind. I need a deliverance in my soul. I need a breakthrough right now. I need a breakthrough right now. I'm struggling right now and I need to hear from God today.
I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling right now. But I got to be honest with God.
Yes.
I've got to be honest with God. I've got to reach out to Him. I've got to be honest with God. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody else today? The Lord's drawing you. Come on, the Lord's drawing you. The Lord's drawing you. He can work. He can work with your hurt. He can work with your pain. He can work with your anger. He can work with your depression. But He needs you to be honest. 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 Come on, somebody needs to respond. The Holy Ghost is drawing you. The Holy Ghost is touching you. Come on, be honest. Be honest. Be transparent. Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I need a touch. I need a touch. I need a touch.
Wonderful to me.
Hallelujah.
King of all days, oh, so highly exalted. Glory.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I need a healing in my spirit. I need a healing in my mind. Is anybody needs a healing in your mind right now? Come on, somebody's dealing with depression. Somebody's dealing with discouragement. You need a touch of your mind right now in the name of Jesus. The enemy has battled you long enough. Come on, you're struggling with some things. Somebody's battling with temptation right now. The Lord can help you, but you've got to be honest.
You're altogether lovely and altogether worthy. Altogether.
Come on, are you honest with Him? Are you honest with Him?
Me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs.
Come on, when you're honest with God, you're on the verge of a breakthrough in your life. You can't hide it from Him anyway. You might as well not even try.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, and I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether so worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to me.
I tell you, I've got to obey the Holy Ghost. Listen, Brother Gabriel, some of you don't know this precious brother, but back in his
home country, Republic of Congo, is that right? Republic of Congo, his wife was killed, is that correct? In the violence and the things that were happening over there. As we were singing, there's such a beautiful spirit about this man. There really is. But some of the things that he has gone through, I don't even know how to describe it. But there is still, of course there is still a pain there. Of course there is still a hurt there. But it was as the Lord spoke to me today and said that everything that you have gone through has positioned you. And he has got there is just a tremendous, tremendous potential and power that is smoldering right under the surface.
Amen.
And God is wanting to use this man to break out a revival, the likes of which that we have never seen before. And I want you to just turn your hands and your voices, just like stretch out your hands toward him right now. In the name of Jesus. Yes. If I could get the elders, come on down here, Dad, Brother Gray. In the name of Jesus. Brother Gabriel, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat.
Amen.
But the Lord has prayed for you that your faith will fail not.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because there's a work. There's a work. There's a cause. There's a purpose. There's a direction. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, use him for the work that you've called him to do. Remove every hindrance today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost be his shield and his buckler today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross.
Here I am to worship.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
One more time, real slow, to Jesus. Here I am to
worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to
Hallelujah. Let's love him and praise him. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. Yes, he is. How many of you want to learn to be more honest with God in your lives? Would you raise your hand? How many of you can truthfully say, I haven't always been honest with the Lord? I thought I could hide things from him that I can't hide from him. But I want to be honest with him. I really do. I really do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. Hallelujah. There's just a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost here today. There really is. There really is. Brother Gabriel, I was thinking you remind me of that. I know I'm picking on you right now, but you know, Jesus said of Nathanael, he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." That's what I see and feel in you. You're real. There's not, you know, you mentioned to me, and I'm not trying to criticize any other churches or groups, but you mentioned once before that you were somewhere and everything was a show. And the reason you didn't fit in is because you're not about a show. And you know the difference between a show and a genuine move of the Holy Ghost.